This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We open up another week as week zero is in the rear view. We just talked about it before we came on live here. Dogs 5-2 ATS in the FBS. You had 4-3 to the under. FCS goes 3-0 to the under. Just a little something to snack on as we say hi. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The boys, Amal Shaw back. Good to have Amal back. Amal Shaw, hi, how you doing?
Doing well. Ready to be back and can't wait for college football to get in full bloom here this weekend. I know Notre Dame's offense looked great, but other than that, it didn't seem like the games were that exciting outside of maybe UMass and New Mexico State for about three quarters.
Yeah, not really. Got games coming up on Thursday, Nebraska, Minnesota. Minnesota right now 7.5, so 7.5. Florida, Utah, 6.5. So the questions continue as far as the quarterback. However, last week, while you were gone, Amal, that number dipped to 5, back up to 6.5. So we'll discuss that coming up in just a little bit as we kind of unfurl everything that transpired over the weekend. We do have the final starter in the NFL as we wait a couple of weeks now. Remember, a couple of weeks in between here, the final starter has been named of the 32. So we'll get to those. Before I introduce Dustin Sweetelson, I want to warn everybody. So get ready for some shtick. He is a Vegas guy. And there's a big distinction between Dustin and I, and Amal, you can tell me kind of where you fit in here. I had to get away from Vegas, not because I didn't love the people there, and it's a great city. It's just, it's not for me. Dustin Sweetelson, conversely, it's very much for him. All the accoutrement, everything that happens in Vegas that stays in Vegas, you understand what I'm saying? You know, just talking ass, talking to people, drunk people, like that's Dustin's scene. Circa was lit on Friday night and he took advantage of it. So I get a call early this morning. I lost my voice. His voice sounded great. Never heard his voice clearer, crystal clear. He could have done a broadcast for 20 straight hours. I say hi to him right before the show starts. He goes, hey man, what's going on? Because he's putting on a show. He wants the creaky voice and the raspy voice from partying with Derek Stevens on Friday night and somebody named Smalls. He wants that to carry over to Monday to prove, badge of honor, I'm from Vegas now. So before we say hi to him, I just want to prepare you, Amal, for shtick to come. Dustin Sweetelson, how you doing? Welcome.
I'm not faking it. Like, this is genuinely how I sound. Everyone is commenting.
See how ridiculous he sounds? No, sounds so ridiculous. It's so real. Annoying.
Yeah, I hear it's just jealousy because I was singing on my way here, and I got to tell you, this new voice and me singing, I'm leaving you two losers behind. I'm going to be famous.
So you're a broadcaster with a banged up voice, and the only thing that's good for it is rest, but you were bellowing at the top of your lungs on the way to do a broadcast to prepare for it.
I had to check out like what my range was. You don't know what your range is until you test it. So I found out in the car that I'm going to be a famous singer if my voice just stays like this.
Amal, any take on this? Does it feel like a put on or does it feel legit?
You know, I'm kind of on the fence on this one. I called him this morning. I didn't know if he had just rolled off the rack. And he's like, yeah, my voice is kind of raspy. And I was like, what happened? He goes, a Friday night. And I'm like, I'm not buying a story that you lose your voice on a Friday night.
There was an EDM concert happening. I was unaware of how loud it was. And here's my deal. If I tell a joke to one group of people and it lands, I'm then going to go to like the next group of people and see if it lands. And if it lands there, then I know it works. And I'm going to another group and another group. And I didn't anticipate that it was so loud. And I was already like 8 drinks in that I was yelling the whole time.
Okay. Well, a good kickoff to college football, a good kickoff officially for Dustin Sweetelson and college football. Now I've got a creaky voice as we say that. he always says to me too, he always like, oh my gosh, I got so many stories from Friday night. He had no stories. He literally just hung out with people and drank. There was nothing that came from it. There was nothing groundbreaking that happened. He met people that he stalks on social. I mean, those were the stories. I met people, correct?
Yeah.
Nothing happened. Strip clubs.
But now there were coworkers involved. So like if I share some things, I think HR might email me and then I have to do, you know, sit down with them and I'm the one who would get in trouble with HR is the issue, so I'm just hoping I don't see the email.
Okay. Well, hopefully HR, that being college football, doesn't realize Sam Hartman's like 28 because he looked like it in his debut. Let's discuss it. A beatdown Notre Dame in Dublin, Amal Shah of Navy. Navy in a bit of a transition. Coach K was there for like 16, 17 years. Bradbury in now as defensive coordinator the last 2 years. And that was a team that was going to throw the ball more. They have a new offensive coordinator. So they attempted 7 passes when they were behind the whole entire time. The midshipmen are mid when it comes to throwing the football and below. Notre Dame, just so much bigger, so much faster. Just the eyeball test was there. 20.5 was the closer. 49 total stays under. Of course, Notre Dame does cover. A nice start to the season for Hartman. 19 of 23, 266, 4 touchdown passes, which ties a school record. So a good little start. 8 different players caught a ball off of Hartman. You like to see that as they get in the mix. Jaden Thomas had 4 for 78. Nice start for Notre Dame. Remember, Maul, they started 0-2 last year.
Yeah, I'll tell you what was most impressive. This team scores 5 touchdowns in their first 5 possessions to start this ball game. Really a dominant performance. You hadn't seen anything like that from Notre Dame in 20-plus years. Really a great job by the Irish in this one. Patrick, we talked about this before the season started. Sam Hartman, to me, is the best transfer in college football this year. Last year was Caleb Williams. He wins a Heisman Trophy. And I don't want to overreact based on a performance against the Naval Academy, but my point being is that Hartman's mobility along with his accuracy is something that Notre Dame has lacked for a long time when you think about quarterbacks. I don't know, maybe you got to go back all the way to Brady Quinn last time you had somebody that you really thought was competent there for them under center. I'm not sure where you come out on that, but I think this team's got an opportunity, and I'll tell you what, Ohio State's got question marks at quarterback. If they can knock off the Buckeyes when they play them in week 4, this is going to be a golden opportunity for this team to have a monster season. 10-2 or anything less than 9-3 is going to be an incredibly disappointing season, but I think 10-2, 11-1 is not out of reach potentially for this team.
Ran the ball well, totally agree. Offensive line kept them clean. Again, you're dealing with 230 guys up front for Navy defensively, so not necessarily a true test. It's a system that will give you problems. Generally, those teams that take on the academies mid-season, it's harder to prepare, pardon me, on a short week. So Notre Dame had the offseason to prepare. Navy just 169 total yards, big guy, on offense. So you're concerned, if anything, about that Notre Dame front 7 and specifically in the interior, and they look pretty good against a Navy team that obviously just wants to run the football with that triple option.
Seeing if that helps. All right, sounds way better. So, couple notes from this game. One, Sam Hartman's still only 14-1 to win the Heisman. And the deal with him, when I look at his Heisman candidacy, I think because of the national program, because of the exposure, because of what he's going to bring to this team, he doesn't need the big stats some of the other guys need. If he somehow can lead Notre Dame to the playoff, that puts him in the mix for the Heisman, right? That's one takeaway. The second takeaway I have is something I think we can apply to other teams coming up in week 1. Navy had a coach transition. And I think sometimes we either overestimate or don't really realize what that transition for a lot of these programs is like. And in Navy's case, I think some of us who thought maybe like Navy could compete for a little bit thought that the coaching transition would just be an automatic positive. We don't realize how much these new guys come in, how much turnover there is in the coaching staff, how much turnover there is on the roster, how many new things they're trying to implement. And a lot of times they just don't have the pieces to do whatever it is they want to do. So I wonder if there's a way we can translate to what we saw from from Navy in their first year with their new head coach into some of the first year head coaches taking over programs this week.
Anything on that, Amal?
It's going to be interesting. I think in Newberry's case here, it's a situation where they run this triple option. All 3 service academies do because the lack of time that the players have to be able to prepare and do other things. I personally don't think there's much you can take away from the first week against Notre Dame that you might be able to in other coaching situations in other places.
Well, no, the point is we were told that they wanted to pass, right? We were told that they wanted to pass the ball more this year, and it was very clear on the very first pass they threw, they were not going to be able to pass the ball like we were told they wanted to do.
Yeah, I think the big thing that stands out, and again, sometimes it comes across a little trite when we talk about the quarterback position, not just college, but obviously the pros. Sam Hartman, greater than Drew Pine. And we move on to week 1 officially for these 2 teams, right? Because Hartman is an adult. The 5-year starter at Wake, Amal, now playing at Notre Dame, where I'm guessing the workload as far as classes, not overwhelming. for Sam Hartman as he waits to get drafted in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round next year. So I would imagine the only thing he's concerned about is running that Notre Dame offense, and it looked like that on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe he takes that Matt Leinart ballroom dancing type of class, but I'm sure the graduate program at UND is pretty tough. But, you know, when you look at this team right now, they needed a quarterback. They've been lacking it for a long time. The question is, though, when they play more challenging teams, can their lines, and you mentioned it, Patrick, you're going up against 230-pound defensive linemen. Different dynamic when you're playing other teams. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Big year for Marcus Freeman, big year for the Irish, but they've got the quarterback that they need. I think there's probably 90% of the teams in college football, if they took on Sam Hartman, they would be so much better. You know, to me, we talk about Ohio State needing two potential new quarterbacks. They're competing. We'll see both of them play against Indiana. Hartman comes in, to me, he's the starter there immediately. He goes to Michigan. He's better than J.J. McCarthy. I can't think of too many places in college football outside of Los Angeles at USC where Sam Hartman is not the immediate starter, or maybe at North Carolina with Drake May.
Totally agree. They got a pro. They got a pro playing quarterback. And he looked like, it's funny, I don't know if you guys watching the game, it just was watching with a friend, and she was like, he looks like an adult. He does not look like the rest of them. And that's Sam Hartman, who's played 5 years in college.
And his poise when he was under duress and under pressure, and how he used his legs to create lanes to throw the ball, and he never looked panicked. It was, you really saw the maturity on display.
Easy not to panic when the quarterback is as big as the defensive interior players for Navy. I think it's Hartman's like, yeah, that? Come on now. Now, we move on. A slow start for USC against a good Mountain West opponent in San Jose State. Plenty to unpack. Caleb Williams, of course, your favorite for the Heisman, and USC. We'll discuss Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With the NFL season right around the corner, nonstop football action is in sight. You can get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Before kickoff, use the code SHARP. Get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL bet, only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code SHARP. The crown is yours. See DraftKings.com/football for eligibility terms and responsibility. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Okay, we got you back here on Sharp Money. I'm Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, and our guy Joshua Perry, Big Ten College Countdown, NBC Sports Analyst. You can find him on Twitter at RIP_JEP. And we got to start here. My man did an amazing job on the NBC desk over the weekend. Congratulations, Joshua. That was a great start for you.
I definitely appreciate it. It was certainly a ton of fun. Like, I have been anticipating the start of college football, and I got in on the action early with some week zero coverage. So certainly looking forward to week one and beyond here, but it was fun to get back at it.
Patrick, why are you surprised?
The Buckeyes, Amal Shaw. Let me just say this, because I'll say it for you, but we're surrounded by Buckeyes. My co-host, Amal Shaw, went to Ohio State. Of course, Joshua Perry, Ohio State linebacker from 12 to 15, drafted in 16 by the Chargers. So, Amal Shaw, you're in good company.
Well, yeah, I was a little bit offended that you would even question to have such a great appearance there by Joshua Perry on that one. He's a Buckeye. Come on. I mean, look at around the media landscape. It's Buckeyes everywhere, especially in college football.
We got a lot of guys out there representing for sure.
I'm sure Joshua was disheartened to hear that Michigan just had to suspend OC Mr. Moore for the first game of the year. Of course, Harbaugh suspended for the first three games of the year. Look, they can practice, they can coach with the team. They just can't be on the sidelines for those games. Of course, Moore, the OC game one, and then Harbaugh 1-3. Do you see an impact there, Joshua?
I think with Sharon Moore out, maybe a little bit more than I would have said before. Listen, though, I think this is something that probably galvanizes Michigan. This is a team that really follows the culture of their head coach specifically, but that coaching staff in general. And they've been able to refine it really well over the last couple of years. So I think if they're as mature as I believe them to be, this has zero impact. And if we're going to be completely honest about the opponent that they're playing, it's a East Carolina team that did a great job last year, 8-5, and certainly has built into it in the last couple of years. But they were 4-4 in conference. Starting quarterback from last year is going to be gone. Their top running back's gone. 2,000-yard receivers are gone, replacing like four of their back seven. It's not like you're getting a veteran group of five team coming in that's, you know, they're going to have edge and they're going to be motivated, but probably the best scenario to kind of navigate without your head coach. I think that this is a Michigan team that goes through there. And as long as they play hard and with maturity, I think they get the job done these first three games.
Yeah, JP, that's a great point you make. Holt Naylor's now with the Seattle Seahawks, and it's going to be a different situation. They're staying with Michigan for a minute here. Tell me your assessment of J.J. McCarthy, because I think Corum and Edwards are the best combo in college football, but he seems like he might be the one issue for the Wolverines if they're going to win a national championship.
Yeah, I think he's got to refine his game. And he was wonderful last year. And specifically, there were some moments that make you say, wow, like this guy's got the potential to be a first round draft pick, but he doesn't play like that all the time. And I think part of it is what the coaching staff asks him to do. This is an old school team. They want to get in big personnel, you know, 12 personnel sometimes, really run the football with those two guys that you just mentioned earlier. And so there has to be an evolution. I think they have to give JJ a longer leash. As the quarterback of that team, I think JJ has to prove to them as well that he can handle it. Last time we saw him, I think that there were a lot of positives in his game. He also threw a couple of pick sixes. Those are the situations you can't have. The other part about this too is who emerges as the pass catchers. You know, Roman Wilson, I think he's a great player, still very unproven. He's got a lot of twitchiness to his game that I think can really break open. Colston Loveland is a young tight end for him that I think can be a really good player. And outside of that, you're kind of asking questions about who's going to be catching passes. And so I think it's a group effort. But as long as JJ developed this offseason, he could be one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Joshua Perry joining us here, Sharp Money, of course, NBC Sports. I'll let them all ask you about Ohio State. Let's go to Thursday and let's talk about Matt Rhule and Nebraska headed to Minnesota. Minnesota's a big time favorite, 7.5 here, Joshua. Uphill battle for Rhule there in Lincoln. Let me get your take on both teams, Nebraska and Minnesota here.
Well, Nebraska is an interesting case for me because I know a lot of people think that the cupboard was bare when Rhule took over, and I disagree with that. I never thought their issue these last couple of years was talent. I thought their biggest issue was the fact that they made too many mistakes and critical points in the game, and I don't think that they were very well coached. And so the coaching aspect changes. Now it's about psychology for these players, and when things start to go wrong, do they say, oh, here we go, this is the same old stuff that we have been through, or do they say, listen, man, we're a new team, and we got new leadership, and we can go out there and get things together. I think they made a great move in the portal, getting Jeff Sims as their quarterback. Very explosive player. I think, again, another raw quarterback, but somebody that can really turn heads and open eyes if he can round out his game. And I think that's a great place to start. For Minnesota, they're going to be replacing a quarterback in Tanner Morgan with Ethan Kaliak-Manis, who had some snaps last year where he was able to show what he could do. Certainly the running back room for Minnesota has turned over, and that's where they've won a lot of games, and a little bit of movement on that offensive line as well. But this is an old school mentality team. They want to run the football. They want to play great defense. They value special teams, time of possession, things of that nature. They don't make a ton of mistakes. And I think that's probably going to be the biggest edge early on for Minnesota is as they work through some of the growing pains, they're not going to make a lot of mistakes through it. And I would give them the edge in this game.
Joshua, Buckeyes quarterback situation. Tell me what you've heard, what you expect to see on Saturday, because there's a potential both guys could play here. Kyle McCord out of Philadelphia and, of course, Devin Brown out of Utah. Both guys bring a different element. I don't know if you had a chance to see them up close. If you have, tell me what you think about the strengths of each of them.
Yeah, it's funny because every time I get asked this question, I feel like somebody's pulling the quote and they're putting it in an article somewhere. Like, I got the inside information. This is what I'll tell you. I have no idea where this battle's going. I have no idea what the final decision is going to be from Ryan Day. But my personal feeling on this is the longer that it's gone on, the more it starts to favor Brown. Because Kyle McCord's a guy who's been on campus for 3 years, and I think they've seen just about everything they need to see from him. Devin Brown was the guy that had more questions and whether he could take over this job. And it seems like he's put enough doubt in the mind of the coaching staff that they haven't made a decision yet. Kyle McCord is more of a traditional drop back quarterback, and he's got a really nice arm. He's a good decision maker. He's a guy who's going to go out there, and I think he's going to make all the plays to keep you on schedule. When I look at Devin Brown, he's got that youth to his game. So a little bit of that fearlessness that comes with the unknown of being a young quarterback, maybe a little bit more mistake prone, but he's got a top end that's kind of ridiculous because he's a very good athlete and because he can get it into some windows that a lot of quarterbacks can't. So I think this is more of a preference. Do you want a guy who can get you out of trouble with his legs maybe a little bit more, specifically considering Ohio State's offensive line and how that's turned over compared to last year? Or do you want the guy, which Ryan Day has typically done, the guy who keeps you on schedule? And he's going to make wild plays, but when he's not making wild plays, he's not making bad plays. And I think that's going to be the balance that they're trying to find here.
It's a great answer. Joshua Perry, Big Ten, of course, NBC Sports analyst, joins us here on Sharp Money. We talked about Rule in Nebraska. Let's go Fickell and Madison in Wisconsin. Expectations, Joshua.
Yeah, Luke Fickell is a guy who I played for at Ohio State. He was our defensive coordinator and linebacker coach. I worked with him every day of my four-year career at Ohio State. Phenomenal coach, great guy. I think the moves that he has made to bring in a quarterback like Tanner Mordecai makes a ton of sense because the offense is evolving under Phil Longo into more of a wide open offense. Now, people are talking about Longo being an air raid guy, and that may be true. I don't see them going full on air raid because they've got a great running back, a couple of them, but really Braylon Allen starting that thing off and an offensive line that has a culture and a legacy there at Wisconsin. You can also look at Phil Longo's track record at UNC, and he was pretty split, kind of balanced 50-50 on run and pass. And so I think that's a lot of what you're going to see, but it's going to be more open. Defensively, I think their personnel was in a good spot, a name for people to take note of. Mumajong Mehta, who plays linebacker, really, really good player, very disruptive, extremely intelligent. He's the kind of guy that you want leading you from the middle of the defense. I think this is a team that gets turned around pretty quick, and I'm excited to see what they look like this upcoming season.
Joshua, we have about 30 seconds. December 2nd in Indianapolis, which team wins the Big Ten?
Oh, man, that's a great question. It's hard for me to bet against Michigan right now, and I know that hurts as a Buckeye, but they're the team that's done it the last couple of years, and I think they've got the makings to do it again. Very veteran, experienced team.
Joshua, that was awesome. You're going to be a star, man. At RIP underscore JEP, you can check him out. Big Ten College Countdown, NBC Sports Peacock. Also co-host of The Rally on Bally Sports. Joshua, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the season. We'll talk to you throughout.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Okay. That's a good representation of a Buckeye, is what I would say. You did well there, Amal Shaw. That's part of your team, and he did a great job. I'll give you credit for it. When we return, we've got a starter named in Houston and a big-time trade in the NFL as far as the quarterback's concerned. We'll discuss coming back. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Going to talk SEC with a Florida legend, Chris Dorian, of course, SEC network analyst. You can also hear him, SiriusXM SEC This Morning. Does a great job at Chris Dorian on Twitter. We'll get to the SEC in just a second as we say hi and welcome to Chris. How about Hartman and Notre Dame? That was crispy, right? Like an idea, the kid that's, what, 24, going on 25 years old, Notre Dame. My guess is it's not a huge load as far as academics. What do you expect from him and this Notre Dame team this year?
You know, I like him an awful lot. I was actually a little disappointed that he didn't end up in Florida. His older brother is in grad school here. So when he went into the portal, I think a lot of people thought it'd be a natural fit for him to come here to the SEC at the University of Florida. But ended up going to Notre Dame and certainly looks the part, doesn't he, man? Everybody's been remarking on the beard and the flow and everything else, but we didn't talk enough about his on-the-field performance. And ironically, you know, they talked an awful lot about his surgery and the necklace with that rib that was removed. I had the exact same issue, thoracic outlet syndrome, and had the rib removed. I'm lamenting the fact that my mom didn't make me a necklace with that rib on it. I got a great picture I could send you. It looked like something you'd get at a barbecue joint, but it's been a great story and certainly excited about what he brings to Notre Dame this year.
Chris, last time you were on, we talked about Super Danny Werfel and, of course, some other quarterbacks that played at Florida. I'm not going to bore you with all of that. But this time around, Graham Mertz does not remind anybody of Danny Werfel. Why is it that this team can't seem to find the guy at the trigger position to elevate Florida back to where they were? And what do you just think about this team big picture-wise this year?
Isn't it amazing to think about? I mean, the history of great quarterbacks at the University of Florida, not only under Coach Spurrier, but even before you know, dating back to the days of Wayne Pease and Kerwin Bell. I mean, Florida's never had a problem finding a quarterback. And all of a sudden, you know, it's been an issue ever since Tebow left 2009. They went on this long run of not being able to find the right quarterback, even having the right quarterbacks at Jeff Driscoll and Jacoby Brissett. Ended up going elsewhere and finding their way into the NFL for long runs. So Florida's certainly been a little cursed when it comes to the quarterback position. And even maybe the only successful one outside of Tebow in that run has been Kyle Trask. And he was on the depth chart behind Felipe Franks. Felipe Franks didn't get hurt. We probably don't see Kyle Trask either. So it's been an interesting run. You know, I think there's a lot of people that are less than enthused about Graham Mertz. And now, he was a highly heralded five-star guy coming out of high school, didn't quite live up to the expectations at Wisconsin. But I think this coaching staff feels really confident about what he brings in terms of managing the game, his leadership. I had a chance to be out at practice yesterday, and the passing game looked sharp. So I'm excited, cautiously optimistic. I think the personality of this team is going to be one that leans on the running game, two really good running backs behind the quarterback, and an offensive line that's going to be good again this year. I think the defense will be much improved. So I imagine they're going to play to the strengths of the team, playing some lower scoring games, ball control, not as much explosiveness perhaps as they had last year, but leaning on Graham Mertz to get them in the right place at the line of scrimmage and minimize mistakes that could shoot themselves in the foot.
Chris Doering, SEC Network. So let's discuss the coaching staff and expectations for your Gators this year. Of course, on the road, coming up here at Utah. Utah is a 6.5-point favorite, but let's take a step back. Talk about Napier year two, Chris, and the expectations in the market. Just 5.5 is the win total for Florida. So not a ton of expectations. They're telling you the market that bowl eligibility would be a good year. Where are you on the coach and the team?
I love Coach Napier. I think Florida has the right guy. Hopefully there's enough patience within the fan base and the administration to give him the opportunity to get the traction that he needs. We've already seen him making hay on the recruiting trail. That 2024 recruiting class is ranked in the top three or four nationally. So the future is bright. Unfortunately, I think it's a very challenging schedule this year and gets even more difficult in 2024 as you add Miami and Central Florida to a non-conference schedule that always includes Florida State. So it's going to be tough to show improvement in the terms of wins. But I honestly have gotten a little more bullish on this team over the last month. At Media Days, you know, I felt like Florida would fall short of that 5.5 win prediction that Vegas threw out there. I actually think that they could get to 6, and if they get to 7, I feel really good about, you know, what that season and accomplishment should be, which is a very different bar than what we've typically seen the expectation be for Florida over the last couple of decades. Now, one of the reasons I feel better about it is they may very well catch some breaks. I mean, I heard in the break there that you guys were talking about, or the update had Cam Rising be listed as a starter. I'm not sure he's able to go. And if he does, how close to 100% is he? The tight end who lit Florida up last year is also probably out. So Florida's catching a break likely there, even though it'll be very challenging to play in that stadium and altitude. And then they play Tennessee. That's the first real road test that Joe Milton will go into in a hostile environment. I'd much rather catch Tennessee early in September than have to play them later in the year when maybe they've acclimated to a new trigger man at the quarterback position. So if Florida could steal one, or God forbid both of those, I think the expectation level changes significantly.
Yeah, Patrick, I think Chris brings up a great point. Getting Tennessee earlier in the season could be a huge benefit for the Gators when you look at the matchup early on. Chris, in the SEC West, obviously in the East, Georgia's the expected team to get to Atlanta. But from your perspective, who do you like in the SEC West? Some people like Alabama, LSU, and maybe somebody else for you.
Yeah, guys, I was shocked. I don't know if you guys watched game day over the weekend, but to see all three analysts on the desk choose Alabama to win the SEC, it seems way out there to me, and no disrespect to Nick Saban, but we're talking about a coach that looks visibly frustrated that none of those guys vying for the quarterback job have taken the ball and run with it, right? So they don't know who the quarterback's going to be. They've been less than impressive the last couple of years on the offensive line. The receivers are just a shadow of what the group that we've come to expect the Tide to roll out there at the wide receiver spot. So you don't have Bryce Young anymore. You don't have guys around the quarterback position to be able to help elevate the play as much as we typically would expect from Alabama. So I think they're going to struggle to get to 10 wins, honestly. I have them going 9-3 this year. I think LSU is the cream of the crop in the West, and I think that that program continues to surge under Brian Kelly. They have the best quarterback in Jaden Daniels in the conference, in my opinion. A lot of young guys on the offensive line got some experience last year. The defense should be really good, although disappointed that Mason Smith won't be able to play in the FSU game. So I got them winning. And I think the dark horse in the West, in my opinion, this year is Texas A&M. And they were overexposed the last 2 years. I think they're underexposed heading into this year. And I think a lot of people are not really giving enough credit to the young guys that had to play last year. That will be a year older, a year more experienced, and more importantly, maybe physically a year more mature.
Chris Doering, SEC Network, joins us here. Sharp Money, doing a great job. You, of course, took that next step, college to the pros. I'm curious, this is a little off the beaten path, but Anthony Richardson, the little you saw of him at Florida, now he's named the starter, Chris, in Indianapolis. He just turned 21 in May. What's that jump like for Richardson?
Yeah, for me, the bigger jump was going from high school to college, because I was going from a 2A school to an SEC school. So that jump was a little harder. When I went from the SEC to the NFL, it was a lot of the same guys I was playing on Saturdays were playing against on Sundays. Now, the pass rush is faster. You know, guys are a little bigger, stronger, faster. But I didn't think the acclimation was quite as difficult. Now, Anthony Richardson is in a tough position. You know, he's coming right in and expected to start day one. Has only had limited number of starts in his college career. You know, he comes from a more modest school here in Gainesville, Eastside High School, that, you know, I don't know if he had the overall coaching that a lot of these other quarterbacks that are coming out of high school typically have. So they're going to need to be patient with him. I'm worried about his psyche, to be honest. You know, we saw times at Florida where he visibly got down when he made a mistake early in a game. So if he does have struggles, do they show some patience? Do they show some grace with him? And are they able to help put him in position to be successful? I don't think Florida did that a lot last year. I think there were instances where they probably should have run him more, should have gotten him outside the pocket a little bit more. Asking him to take his steps and throw within the pocket is not his best strong suit. So I think it's going to be important that they use a lot of the similar game plan that they used for Jalen Hurts when their head coach was in Philly as the offensive coordinator, is now the game plan for utilization of the skill set that Anthony Richardson has.
You mentioned Shane Steichen there. When you look at a player like Richardson, tremendous athlete, best athlete generally on the field when he plays college football, how much does everyone catch up to you from an athleticism standpoint when you get to the NFL? Because he could just show up and be better than everybody. Now it's a different ballgame.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. He's still the best athlete probably on the field 99% of the time. The dude is just unbelievably talented. And I think the thing you have to remember, and I saw this at the receiver position, guys. There were guys that were great college receivers that never learned the nuances of playing the position, were just always more athletic and faster than everybody else, just could go get the ball. But when you get to the next level, it's a lot more about technique. It's a lot more about, you know, using your body to catch the football and create space. It's a lot more about making contested catches at the receiver position. At the quarterback position, the windows are a lot tighter. You got to be much more accurate throwing the football. You got to be a lot smarter, because the coverages and the disguises that you'll see, the blitzes that you'll see, are happen a lot quicker, and things are a lot more easily disguised, because, let's be honest, this is a full-time job. In college, you got the 20-hour rule, which is not abided by everybody, but there's a limited amount of time you can be with a player as well. At the NFL level, you can certainly do a lot more, and the defenses that you'll face are a lot more robust.
Great job, Chris. Got a big season ahead. Of course, SEC Network all year. SEC This Morning on SiriusXM as well all year for Chris Doering. You can find Chris on Twitter at Chris Doering. We're going to talk to you during the regular season. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, there he goes, Chris Doering. He's awesome. At Chris Doering on Twitter. Yeah, the jump for Richardson is fascinating. As a matter of fact, when we come back, we got a little break here with guests. I want to talk about a team that I'm down on in the NFL and see if Amal and the big guy agree. We continue. Sharp Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, the updated NFL betting guide will be released on Thursday. That's coming up in 3 days. Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSIN experts have been reevaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL guide will have picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use the VSIN betting splits, football contest strategies. If you want to bet and have the most comprehensive collection of picks, predictions, and previews, now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for as low as $19. Or you can save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. We got you back here, Sharp Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Al Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Thrilled to be joined by Robert Turbin. Of course, CBS Sports going to do some college games this year. SiriusXM NFL radio host does a great job there. At Robert J. Turbin on Twitter. Of course, fourth round pick out of Utah State, played in the league for many years, a Super Bowl champ, and he joins us now. Hi, Robert. Thanks for joining. And I want to start here. The deadline for Jonathan Taylor, the running back there in Indy, I believe is tomorrow to get a move done. Are you disheartened, kind of a band of brothers? Are you disheartened to see what's happened with your position here in the NFL?
I mean, not really. I wouldn't call it disheartened. I mean, if you understand the business side of it, it kind of, you know, you kind of come to terms with what's going on. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. The CBA is structured the way that it is. And so it's about really navigating around it as opposed to, you know, complaining about what's going on. Obviously, I'd like to see guys, you know, be able to get the bag, reset the market. But when you look at it from the other side of the spectrum and you understand why it's not happening, you know, it's not disheartening. It's just something that needs to change in the future.
Yeah, I like the perspective you give there, and you're absolutely right. It is a business. Let's go to college football. First of all, I got to ask you, I think you've got the game in Honolulu this weekend. Tell me, what's the travel schedule for a broadcaster? I've always wondered this. How much time do you get on the islands on the paid-for trip?
Good question. You know, it's actually my first trip to Hawaii as a broadcaster, so it's going to be a little bit of a new experience for me, but I do head out of town tomorrow, and the game's not till Friday. So I'm going to be able to enjoy some time, you know, on the beach and be able to sightsee. You know, the last time I was in Hawaii was when I was at Utah State and we played Hawaii. And so, you know, I was a broke college kid and I was under 21. So not much. And I was on a strict schedule. So not much you can really do. Still had a really good time. Obviously, you're there out there with your teammates and you know, you get to walk around, you got some stuff that's pretty much set up for you. But this time around, it'll be a little bit different, and I'm excited. I'm excited to be in Hawaii, but I'm also excited for the game.
Going to be calling, Robert Turbin, going to be calling Stanford, Hawaii for CBS Sports. Tell us, you've done some research and some scouting on these two teams. Stanford, of course, with a new head coach. Hawaii just traveled to Nashville and lost to Vandy. Give us an idea what you expect from this game.
Yeah, you know, I got a chance to look at Vandy in Hawaii, obviously. I've been watching that game. I've watched the tape a couple of times. Hawaii with Timmy Chang running in his second year now as the head coach, bringing back that run-and-shoot offense that he was so familiar with. And really a lot of great quarterbacks who've come through Hawaii have run that offense. And I'll tell you what, they got another one in Braden Shader right now. You watch him against Vandy, although that they lost that game. He played at a really, really high level, and I think he's got a lot of potential to be great, not only this year in college football, but I think he's really got a bright, bright future. You know, Stanford's kind of gone through some turmoil a little bit. They haven't had the success that, you know, we're accustomed to Stanford having in their past. Had a lot of guys leave the program. But Troy Taylor, their new head coach, he's won everywhere he's gone. The way that he approaches his program, his values, how he gets guys to play at a high level. If there's anybody that can turn the program around, it's him. Now, they got some things that they got to figure out roster-wise. They still haven't figured out who their starting quarterback is going to be. But I think this is a team. It may not show this season, but I think it's a program that certainly has a bright future as well. So I look out for a good game. These are two teams that are trying to really bounced back from some disappointing seasons last year. Obviously, the first home game for Hawaii. There's going to be a lot of emotional support because of the stuff that's going on in Hawaii as well. So it's going to be, it's going to be an exciting game to be a part of.
Robert, I want to stay on the West Coast. Caleb Williams obviously going for a second potential Heisman Trophy. But when you look at this USC team, elite offensively, but do you believe their defense is good enough to carry them in the back half of the schedule when they have Notre Dame, Utah, Washington, Oregon, some real challenging games there?
Yeah, it remains to be seen. You know, we know that they struggled defensively, and when last season they struggled defensively. And when I think about USC, you think about an explosive offense, obviously led by Caleb Williams, but, you know, defense wins championships, right? That's the old adage. And if USC wants to be the type of team that they've been in the past, right, historically, back when Pete Carroll was playing, Reggie Bush and those fellas, this defense is not only going to have to step up, but they're going to have to step up on a consistent basis. So that's the big question mark. I mean, even when you watch that game against San Jose State, not anything against San Jose State because, they've got a really good quarterback. They've got a really good football team. Just a couple years ago, they were the Mountain West champ. But, you know, it wasn't a dominating performance by any stretch of the imagination by the USC defense. San Jose State, Siobhan Cordero, I believe, is the quarterback's name. He was able to make some nice plays, and they were able to be able to do some things offensively. So certainly for me, you know, a lot of people are talking about USC making it to the playoffs, you know, hopefully getting back into that national championship game. And if they have real aspirations on doing that, their defense is going to have to play at a high level.
Robert Turbin, great job here. CBS Sports college football analyst, of course, SiriusXM. I think he's hanging out with my guy, Zig Fricassi, on NFL radio, which is classic. Let's go to the NFL and talk about Seattle, a former team of yours. Were you surprised by Pete Carroll and Geno Smith last year? The expectations were zero, Robert. And all of a sudden, they out of nowhere make the postseason. Let's go from last year to this year and expectations for the Seahawks.
Last year, my expectations personally for the team, I thought minimum they'd win 7 games, and I thought maximum they'd win 9. And that's what they did. They went out, they won 9 games. They made the playoffs, which I said that they would do if they won 9 games. Here's the thing about last year, everybody counted them out. I've trained with Geno. I've been teammates with Geno, so I know his approach to the game. I had confidence in him. But even looking past that, you know, you look at some of the players that, I mean, are still even on the team this year with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Quandre Diggs. I mean, those guys are, you're talking about staples, right, for an NFL team. You know, guys that win you games. Because they're on their team. And so when you look at that, it's like, listen, you bring in a quarterback just as long as he has the competency to be able to manage the football game and be able to utilize his weapons and let those guys make the plays, that he's going to be fine. And that's exactly what the Seahawks did last season. Now, this year, you know, obviously a lot of the guys returning, these young players who are becoming veterans before our eyes, some breakout guys like Tariq Woolen at the cornerback spot, obviously. Kenneth Walker III went over 1,000 yards last year in the backfield. They've added some more veteran pieces to that defensive line. Jaron Reed, Draymond Jones in the trade, bringing back my boy, Bobby Wagner, to shore up that linebacker spot in the middle. He's a championship-type player, and I think this is a championship-type team, fellas. And, you know, I'm not like a homer-type personality. I'm not a bandwagon guy. I'm not a fan of any team. I do support the team because I got a lot of friends on the squad still, but I truly believe that this is a team that can win the NFC West this season, that will win the NFC West this season. And, you know, I think their ceiling is an NFC championship game, and it wouldn't surprise me to see them in the Super Bowl this year. That's how good I think this team is, and it's not because I played for the Seahawks, but it's because that's my true evaluation.
Robert, we got about 30 seconds. Tell me where you come out on Russell Wilson and what he could potentially be this year, or is it curtains for him?
Nah, it's not curtains at all. Russell works too hard. He's in a good situation with a coach that he wants to be with. I think the Broncos bounce back. They probably win 9 or 10 games this year.
Robert, travel safely to Hawaii and have a great season. At Robert J. Turbin on Twitter, of course, Super Bowl champ, CBS Sports, SiriusXM, Robert Turbin. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Thank you.
You got it. Very good. Liked him. Honest opinion. He's high on the Seahawks. He can't really get an answer about the Broncos. Sounds like he's the type of dude that got along with everybody in the locker room. And the reason I say that, he got along with Russell Wilson. So if you're getting along with my boy and still like him, even when you have a chance to be like, yeah, I don't know, kind of cheesy. He was cool about it. How about that? Last year, literally nobody. Everybody said the Seahawks were a 4-win football team. He said basement was 7, ceiling was 9. They go out and win 9 games. So maybe listen to Robert Turbin. When we return, of course, we close some tabs. We got a top 10 and more as we continue. Sharp Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.